This says we are blessed by spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. That means we're blessed with things like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. Spiritual qualities that we get to use to live out in a physical world. We are blessed. We're blessed with things like friendship and compassion and caring and generosity and love. We are blessed. We are blessed with everything God can bless us with in terms of our spiritual lives as we live through this life. Part of salvation is being blessed of God. It is interesting to me that we can choose to ignore the blessings of God and be upset and cantankerous and rude if we choose to. But God's blessings are to give us that sense of peace and security and serenity and closeness with God and affirmation of God's presence that God intends for us to have. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And it is a beautiful thing. One of the things I've noticed that wherever we go in the world and we run into other Christian people, there's a recognition of the kind of love and forgiveness and grace that Christ offers to us, where we can have a sense of security and trust that the world doesn't have a clue about. We were standing at the border guard agent's post at the airport when we were entering India. And the border guard asked me, "Where are you staying?" "I don't know. All I know is I'm going to meet my friend Kalai, and he's going to take us to where we're staying." "Well, what's the name of the hotel?" "I don't know, but here's his phone number if you want to call him and ask him." And the guard looks at me and says, "You flew all the way across the world and you don't even know where you're staying?" And I said, "But I know who's taking care of us." And I didn't mean Kalai. I just knew that we had a trust that the guys that had set up things for us were going to have things covered. I just didn't know the name of the hotel. Turns out that's a very important thing to the Indian border guard. So he calls Kalai and says, "Where are you?" He said, "I'm standing outside the airport. Are you expecting people?" "Yeah, we're expecting people." "What are you going to do with them?" "We're going to take them to the hotel." "Okay, what hotel are you taking them to?" And he told me, he says, "Okay." So he asked me, confirming that's the same hotel. I says, "If that's what Kalai said, that works for me." Because there's a security and a serenity and a trust that the world does not understand that we can experience when we are a part of God's kingdom. We go to the Navajo reservation. We do not speak Navajo. Maybe get a word or two here, there, or yon. But we build relationships of love and trust with other believers whose lives are vastly different from ours in ways we cannot even begin to understand. But God has blessed us both with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, and we have a confidence and a peace that God is in charge and God will take care of things. We are blessed. And then it said He chose us. He chose us. Do you know what it's like to be chosen? I hated the lesson I learned in elementary school about being chosen. Because they picked some Yahoo clown to be in charge of choosing for teams for PE. And they picked the other guy that was also some big, tough, strong, good at sports guy, and he'd be the other team captain. They start choosing and choosing. And they get to the end, and finally the guy says, "Well, we'll take Steely if you'll take the other three losers." Thank you very much. I love being chosen. But then, when I understood that God looked through all of the cesspool of human misery and all of the collection of people that ever were or ever have been, and He says, "I want you." And He chose us in Him to be united with Him before the foundation of the world. Before this world was even formed, He knew who we were and He chose us. Before we'd even messed up, knowing we were going to, He chose us. He made a choice, and we were His choice. Remember how when you were teenagers, and some of you were teenagers for a long time, when a pretty girl would walk by, you'd go, "Boy, I hope she notices me." Or if you're a girl, stud-looking guy walks by, "Boy, I hope he notices me. I hope he recognizes who I am. I hope he sees me." And you realize that God, who does not look on the outward appearance, but looked at your inward heart, saw you and chose you before this world began. And that is so beautiful, to have the security of knowing that we are chosen by God. You ever go to one of those waiting places like the DMV where you have to take a number and wait for your number to be called? Went in the DMV in Tucson one time and I got number 87 and they were presently serving number 36. And I said, "This is going to be a long day." Okay. And you watch the numbers go by and you've got number 86. And they get to the 80s, finally, and you're getting excited. And they do 81, and they do 82, and they do 83, and they do 84, and they call 85, and then they call 87. And you go, "Wait a minute! You didn't pick me, you didn't choose me." And they look at you, and they're about to tell you to go pick another number when she finally says, "Fine, I'll take you now." And you're going, "Whew, God's not like that. God saw you before you even walked in. And He says, I want you chosen before the foundation of the world." And we're not chosen for our own benefit, but He says we're chosen to be holy and blameless before Him. We're chosen that He could make us from what we were into something holy and blameless before Him. That He could transform us into what He wants us to be. He says, "I chose you because I've got great plans for you. I chose you because there's things I want to do in your life that will bring me glory and you honor." And it's beautiful. And it's wonderful. And God is greatly to be praised. Then He says, you are predestined to adoption. Predestined is a fancy biblical theological word for destiny chosen beforehand. Okay? You know, I showed those kids a picture of me and my grandson, both of us about 5 months old, and there's amazing similarities between them. And it's kind of like, poor kid, he has no choice. We know what he's going to look like when he gets older. You know, that's predestined. Okay? He's, you know, it's in the genes. It's just there. You know, showed him a picture of my dad, my brothers, and there's certain similarity, certain physical characteristics that tend to follow through. One time I went to go visit Marilee in Denver, and we walked into the place she worked. She was picking up a paycheck or something, and as we walked in there, one of her coworkers says, "Ooh, you two are Uber related." Because, yeah, there's a physical similarity there. Poor kid. We're predestined. Our destiny was chosen beforehand. We have a role in life that was prepared for us to be adopted by God as His child. That God chose us. He predestined us for adoption as His children. And the adoption papers were sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. Not some judge signing off, but sealed by the very blood of Christ. Because He chose us and predestined us to be adopted as His children. We're a child of God. We are predestined to be adopted because we are blessed and chosen. And then it says that He redeemed us. He brought us out of trouble. He paid our charges with His blood. He redeemed us. We owed a debt we could not pay. And He sent His Son to the cross that our debt might be paid. With His blood, we have forgiveness of trespasses. You know what trespass is? It's one of the words the Bible uses to translate sin very often. But trespass means you're someplace you're not supposed to be. You ever been someplace you're not supposed to be? Every once in a while, we'll have a kid come do community service. And I ask what their problem was, what they got in trouble with. He says, "Well, we were arrested for trespass." And around here, there's only two places you're going to get arrested for trespass as a kid. One's either FICO in the middle of their pecan groves when they don't want you to be in there, or the Rancho Clubhouse. And so they'll get arrested for being in the Rancho Clubhouse without, you know, being a guest of somebody there. And the Sarita Police Department will charge them with trespass and give them community service hours. And so I have them come up to the church and do stuff that I do as part of my job, but they get community service for it. I'm not sure that works out right, but that's kind of the way it is, you know. And do all the kind of stuff we did yesterday, and they get community service hours for it. But they trespassed. We're in the wrong place. And it says that God forgives us our trespasses. Doesn't charge us, doesn't fine us, doesn't make us work it off. He forgives us our trespasses. He redeems us and gives us the riches of His grace that are lavished on us. The beauty of the Christian life is the beauty of God's grace lavishly, indulgently being poured upon us to enjoy the life He has given us. And how beautiful that can be. It is good to be a part of the family of God, to be blessed and chosen. What's interesting is how many Christians say, "Look at my life. I don't see it." And the problem with not seeing the blessings and choosing and action of God in our lives, it's because we have a vision problem, that we can't see what God has had because we're blinded by our sins and desires and we fail to see what God has given us.
The gentleman in my church growing up, and his name was Bill Schlack, and Bill was quite ill. He had kidney disease, was in for kidney dialysis quite a lot, was in a lot of pain from some of his other ailments. And yet, all the kids at the church referred to him as the candy man, because he brought a bag of candy to church, and every kid that came up to him and quoted a Bible verse to him would get a piece of candy. So he had a whole bunch of kids started quoting John 11:32 to him, and that's the shortest verse in the Bible. It's Jesus wept. Yeah. And so for those, he gave them an M&M, but if they quoted a real verse, he gave them one of those little mini candy bar things. You know, so it was funny the way he dealt with that. But here was a guy whose life was a mess. His wife had left him. His health was destroyed. He had all kinds of misery and wrong things going on with him. He was in a wheelchair. He could no longer move, had trouble getting around. And yet he chose to enjoy the smiles and giggles of little kids every Sunday morning. He took what was really ugly and chose to make something beautiful out of it. And God blessed him with a joy of life like few I've ever seen. In pain, yet in joy. Another man in the church had severe arthritis. And had trouble with arthritis. His wrists were all curled up and crinkled over. He was bent over. And Jimmy had trouble walking most of the places he went. When he was in his late 60s, he had a heart attack. And someone asked him if that hurt a lot. He says, oh no, it wasn't anywhere near arthritis I've had. The heart attack was no problem whatsoever. And that's how much pain he'd been in. But Jimmy loved the Lord and loved His Word and had as his goal to memorize the New Testament and worked at it, and he knew the Word of God and he loved the Word of God. And here he was in tremendous pain and agony, yet finding joy and peace and blessing and encouragement by learning the Word of God. And it was interesting to watch the two of them together with the children. Because the children would quote the verse to Bill Schlack, and he would look at Jimmy Curry and say, did he get it right? Because Bill might not know the scripture as well as Jimmy did, but Jimmy knew for sure whether he'd tell it right or not. And it was fun to watch the two of them interact with the children and love each other and care for each other, and the blessings of God in that friendship were outstanding. I want to be like that when I get old. Which is getting closer every day. I want to enjoy the blessings of God and enjoy the peacefulness and security and serenity of having a place in God's family as His chosen ones. I want to be recognizing the blessings of being a part of the family of God. Let's pray together. Father, please hear our prayer. Please help us to enjoy your blessings. Please help us to recognize how blessed and chosen we are because we are your people. Thank you for helping us to be a part of the family of God. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.